village on a hill. I heard my mother call my name in prayer. She was talking then to Jesus while everything was still. And I heard my mother call my name in prayer. Yes, I heard my mother call my name in prayer. She was pouring out her heart to Jesus there. Sin. When I heard my mother call my name in prayer, she was praying that her boys would be just what they ought to be, and she asked the Lord to take them in his care. Just the words I don't remember, but I know she prayed for me, for I heard my mother call my name in prayer. Yes, I heard my mother call my name in prayer. She was pouring out her heart to Jesus there. Then I gave my heart to him, and he cleansed my soul from sin. When I heard my mother call my name in prayer, then I gave my heart to him, and he cleansed my soul from sin. When I heard my mother call my name in prayer.
Praise the Lord. Let's grab a Bible and turn with me to the book of 2 Peter today. We started on a series last week, and I thought, well, rather than preach Proverbs 31 that we just read on Mother's Day again here, let's go ahead and continue in that series talking about growth. And as we do, we'll get some application, I'm sure, to our moms here, and appreciate again that we can recognize moms on this 12th of May. Is that what it is? 12th of May. And as we're here honoring our moms and worshiping our Lord, it's good to bring those two together. Praise the Lord. And you ought to praise the Lord for the upbringing you got. I got a couple other messages I wanted to preach, but they're on the internet, so you can go ahead and hear them. They're not preached by me. I was going to steal them. One of them is A Tale of Two Mothers by James Knox. And so, again, I listened to that about three times here this week and enjoyed that tremendously. And let's see, Brother Johnson, if you want to turn in some of those street preachers you've been listening to, I'd throw them right away and start listening to James Knox. Do a search on James Knox. There's 489 messages by James Knox. I've only listened to half of them, but I endorse every one of them again. So I encourage you to get a hold of that one. That came out here a couple weeks ago from Victory Baptist Press, where he preached A Tale of Two Mothers. And I like that, enjoyed that. And there's some things about mothering in there, that message that will do us good. But there's some things in this message here about growth, again, that will do us good. And appreciate, again, that we could look at our growth and our continued growth, our maturing, as we consider our moms again on this Mother's Day. So let's go ahead and take the book of 2 Peter, and let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word, if you would. And let's go ahead and look at some things about our growth that's outlined. They're introduced here by Peter, and we've been looking at wall building, bricklaying. It was our message last week. And how to lay bricks. And so this week we want to continue on with that theme, but also build upon it if we could. 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. A lot of words that are occurring in this introduction again are going to show up in our theme here of building a wall. So watch for them as well. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of that divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Look at verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Father, praise you. Thank you again, Father, for your word. Thank you again, Father, for this growth lesson that we're learning and building on. And I pray again that you'd help us to build well. Thank you for the moms that are here. Thank you, Father, that they could also be building lives in their children and in others. We'll praise you now and thank you, Father, for your blessing on the word and on this lesson from your word. Touch our hearts. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. And you're not keep this going during the preaching. You'll be reading them cards from Trump or something. So as we celebrate Mother's Day here again, we're going to go ahead and look at this lesson on building. Remember last week we talked about building blocks and how you build one upon another, and they're staggered. And I illustrated that again with the fact that when you lay block or brick, you lay three blocks of faith is what we built last week. And then on top of that, you can lay up two blocks of virtue, okay? And on top of those two blocks of virtue, we can get one block of knowledge, okay? And so we're walking through this series as a building process. That's kind of not a new way of looking at this. The potter that was here and developed this for us, again, built the whole wall and had pictures of everything, of the bricks going in place and building all the way up to the top layer of charity. And so we want to just go ahead and revisit that. And the idea is that we need to be building. We need to grow. And when you get saved, praise the Lord, God does everything. And notice again, even from what I read, that this starts out with the presumption that you are saved, that you are born again, that you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust that for each one of us here, that you've already come to a place where you've surrendered, given your life to Christ, called upon Him to be your Savior, and that He responded to that and did something in your life. That's different than a professed salvation, because again, it has an action that God did His part. He's made His promises. And he says that he will go ahead and undergird Romans 10, 9 and 10 that we just gave this week again, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved again. And so when you get saved, notice again that God does certain things to us that he alone is in charge of. I've put down five of them that's helped me keep track of that. Number one, you are converted to Christ. Matthew 18 says, except you be converted, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So you are converted. And conversion is both our faith, and our repentance. It's turning from repentance towards the world and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's a conversion. Number two, there's a justification where God justifies you. Number three, there's an indwelling where He moves inside of you and He indwells you. Number four, that you are immersed in the Lord Jesus Christ, or baptized into Christ is the Bible word there. And then number five, that you are quickened, you are made alive, where something in you is dead, now it's made alive, and once it's made alive, that's where your everlasting life abides. And so we have that quickening. And again, if God could, we mentioned again losing salvation. I heard, in fact, it was Knox again preaching this week, said this. He said, people that talk about losing their salvation never talk about losing their salvation. They talk about you losing your salvation. But they don't talk about me losing my salvation. So when they frame all of their conversation, and I got, that's curious, I'd heard that before. I had a lot of discussions again about people who think they're going to lose their salvation. A lot of preachers who preach that you could lose your salvation, but they never turn the finger around and preach that I could lose my salvation again. And so again, once we're quickened, we're made alive, God's guaranteed us eternal life. And in order for you to lose your salvation, listen, if you got saved, there was given to you a quickening. Those five things happened to you, and one of those is that you were quickened, you were made alive, where once you were dead. In order for you to lose your salvation, God's got to reach down inside of you and quench that quickening that He did. He's got to kill whatever He made alive inside of you, and God ain't going to do that.
Amen.
And so when we understand, again, those things happening to us, again, understand that's just the starting point. And those things should have happened to you. And listen, there ought to be a difference in our life because of that. But now we're picking up where Peter's starting right here, saying, hey, let's build on that. Peter's taking this point, saying, hey, you already got salvation. You've already been justified, quickened, indwelt, converted. You've got all of that taken care of. Now, again, it's time for you to do something with your life. And this is where we have to get involved. This is where we have to pick up the trowel, as it were, and the mortar and the brick. And we have to do some building. And so what we're talking about here, and I mentioned last week again, that a lot of people just get that and say, hey, there, I'm saved. And that's it. They don't do any building.
Yeah.
And Peter here is charging us that we behave like the elect. I like that. Because the election doesn't get us into salvation. But it does, once we're in Christ, we are in the elect one, and now we should start being Christ-like. In fact, if you become enough Christ-like, pretty soon people might call you Christian. We become believers when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. We become disciples when we start building. And then again, we become Christians, not in the world sense of what a Christian is. We become a Christian when all of a sudden people say, hey, that person acts like Christ. He smells like Christ. He walks like Christ. He talks like Christ. And that's the difference again, and that's why they called them Christians. So notice again, our emphasis last week was this is a building process. In order for you to start building in your life, you got to get your hands dirty. There's something that you have got to do. And we looked at to your faith, add virtue, and to virtue add knowledge. Those first three layers all come by this right here.
Amen.
And if you got this right here, and it's a King James Bible, not some perversion of the world that's put together by some ecumenical council who thinks that they know what God meant to say better than what He did say, be careful of that. If you're building on God's Word again, and you got a good foundation to build on here, notice again that these things again come out of that. Where does faith come from? Faith cometh from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so these things are obvious. And notice the next one there that we looked at was this virtue. Where's virtue come from? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed unto thy word, Psalms 119 covers that. And so again, if we're going to add virtue to our life, we want to look at that a little bit more in definition probably. But these things have got to be built in time and in place, and we add to and build. I did my Penny Pulpit this week, and I said, it's interesting that some people, you can't detect building with the naked eye in their life. And we wonder if they really got the faith or not. And there's just cause for that wonder. But there are many, again, who don't start the building process after they get saved. They just kind of dawdle around there and occupy a pew or whatever they may do. Some of them don't even occupy pews, okay? And so the other that makes me wonder is sometimes I see people that, I think I mentioned Jerry Johnson, that was a heroin addict that got saved and became a pastor within 2 months and became a youth pastor, or surrendered to be a pastor in 2 months and then became a youth pastor and a youth speaker, all in a matter of about 6 months. He did all his Bible training from nothing to everything. And again, I look at that and say, why can't I grow? Why don't I grow like that? And some people just boom and grow. Others of us are slow learners again. But wherever our case may be, we all need to be busy about adding these building blocks into our life. Add to your faith. Giving all diligence. Add to your faith. Interesting verse we looked at again last week was in 1 John 5 something. It says, these things are written to those that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may know that you have eternal life. Praise the Lord. That's why John wrote. But then it goes on to say, and that ye may believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved, that's good. That got you salvation. But you're not done there. The next step is to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Add to your believing. I had to look this up this week. And this week I dug out my Greek Bible and my Hebrew Bible. I just had a good time yesterday. I was supposed to go fishing while I was sitting around waiting for the boat to arrive. I got out my Bibles and I just had a whole day of study, praise the Lord. But anyway, the Greek word for that is pistis, faith. That's noun. Faith, that's something that's a noun. It's something that we could grab onto. It's something that Paul could say, I have seen your faith. That's a noun. But the same word in the verb form is pistio. So in Greek, again, they have the same root word for faith, and for the verb form is believe. Believing. Hold your place there, and Peter turned on to back to John 3:15. John 3:15. Who memorizes John 3:15? Well, all of us should. It's a precursor to John 3:16. Again, look what it says there. John in chapter 3 in verse 15. Isn't it curious? We got to look it up. Even your preacher didn't get that one memorized. That whosoever, the Bible says, believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, some people say they can't understand the English Bible, King James Bible, because it uses words like believeth. If I believe and you believe and he believeth, that's just, again, a form of English that they used to capture the exactness of the Greek tense. Again, it's way they changed our English so that it could capture God's Word. And I realize that the world wants to change it all back and get rid of all the believeth and loveth and all the other F's in your ETHs in your Bible. But listen, they are all third person. And you couldn't tell third person from first person to second person if it weren't for some of those English changes that they put in there. And, well, I can't understand it. Well, learn a little English again. And so notice again that he that believeth, that word right there is pistio. It's using the third person singular again. So that he, that's the third person, that believeth. And if you believe, again, notice again that you have faith. Let me say that again, that faith and believe is the same thing. If you want to build your faith, If you want to add to your faith, how would you add to your faith?
By believing.
By believing, okay. And what are you going to believe?
God's Word of God.
You could believe the internet that says if you get immune shots that you'll end up autistic or something. You could believe, I mean, there's all kinds of things that you could believe. And again, notice that we're getting to this. I don't want to get the cart ahead of the horse, but our knowledge is going to be built on what we believe. Amen. And so I really worry about people that spend all their time on the internet trying to devise your truth. If you don't devise your truth from this book first, and then, if you have to, go to the internet. But again, only to do research and not on stupidity. There's plenty of stupidity out there, and there's lots of lie out there. And so again, if you're going to believe, then don't go hunting around the internet for something to believe. You hunt around in this book for something to believe. Don't go watching TV series to figure out what you're going to believe. I know Charlton Heston did an extremely good job, and I'm pleased with that. But listen, that's not how we determine truth. And if you're going to build your life on what you believe, you better believe the truth. Amen. Let me give you two truths again. They're both called the Word. This is the Word of God. And John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth. And so if we're going to build our life on the Bible, we need to build it on the Lord Jesus Christ. See Him in every page. We just covered again on Wednesday some things about Psalms, and I just touched the tip of the iceberg. It's looking at the enormity of Psalms and what it teaches about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here David, writing like 76% of the Psalms, 1,000 years before Christ got here, and most of the Psalms point to Christ. And so again, when we're learning God's truths, boy, again, notice that's going to add to our faith. When you're learning internet truths, it's going to add to your folly. Be careful, okay? We're adding to the truth. How are we going to do that? The good way is to read your Bible. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. Number two, virtue. Virtue is more than morality. Excellence in morality. That's a good definition of virtue. And we ought to have that in our life. An excellence in morality. But you know, there's more to that than that. There's a verse where Jesus, remember when the woman came up behind him and touched the hem of his garment? And Jesus perceived that
somebody had done that.
No, that's not what the Bible says. What did Jesus perceive? That virtue had gone out of him. Isn't that curious? I heard that illustrated, and I like this, was when we had a swamp cooler down in New Mexico. We lived down in New Mexico. We turned on the fans on that swamp cooler, and all the lights in the house would go boo, and then it would come back up again. And so some of you have air conditioners like that. Sometimes that air conditioner upstairs used to kick on, and all the lights in the church here would go dim, and then it would come back up. And I always perceived that's what he was talking about. But notice again that another meaning of virtue is again the fact that, hey, it's strength. Virtue is strength. And so add to your faith a little bit of strength. How are you going to do that? The Word of God. But notice again, there's not just the Word of God here. We're starting to get some other things. Some of life. Some of life's trials. Some of the things that happen. Some of the things that we experience build strength in our life. I'm always amazed at talking to people. I've been saved since 1960. And I'm always amazed that talking to people builds strength in my life. Listen to the people say why they will not accept a tract on the streets of Geneva. Bill, that builds some strength in your life. And so just being a witness builds strength. But add to your faith virtue. And virtue comes again by taking heed to the Word of God, believing what He says, believing in His moral excellence, and to be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Listen, you got a ways to go yet. And so again, we look at that and say, hey, we need to add virtue. And then lastly is this third one that we looked at last week. I've only preached last week's message right now. And that is to add knowledge.
And notice again that knowledge is built on top of that stacks of virtue and the building model that we put. And so as you get strength, you can add knowledge. A lot of people get top heavy with their wall building and try to put all that knowledge on top. And they off gone off someplace believing that we didn't land on the moon and that the earth is flat. And listen, they got their Bible knowledge mixed up here again with the world again and the internet. And again, they're not building the right model here. So building knowledge comes again from the Word of God. The beginning of knowledge is
all wisdom.
Huh?
All wisdom.
Okay. And there's a verse that says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. What do you suppose the beginning of knowledge is? The fear of the Lord again. And so again, there's consequences to our building here that we again build in the right order and get things built up. And then we start adding blocks of knowledge. And so we got all through last week's message. Let's jump to this week's message and see what we're supposed to add to that. I got several notes here about Hillary that I wanted to fit in, but I can't find an application, so we'll have to let them go. If you listen to James Knox's message, you'll enjoy some of the things that he says about our current politics as well in that. But notice again that we have this building process going on, and we want to add now temperance. And I, again, who's got to lose 40 pounds to get off of the U.S. Air Force obesity list, probably should preach very delicately, tiptoeing around what temperance is. But temperance, it's habitual moderation. It is habitual moderation. And let me go ahead and finish the definition here again from Webster's. It's habitual moderation in regard to indulgence of the natural appetites and passions. And so listen, to have temperance, we've heard it say, well, temperance is self-control. The best way I remember temperance and what it is I've met some people, in fact, I've been a people, who often lost their temper. You know what that is?
Yeah.
You've lost your temperance. You don't have temperance. How come you lose your temper? Because you don't have temperance. And again, that's the same root word, comes from the same thing. I've met husbands, here on Mother's Day, let me mention, I've met husbands who control the whole home and their whole life with the fact that mom says, oh, be careful, don't say anything about that. Dad will lose his temper. And so, listen, he doesn't have a temperance problem. He's got a leadership problem, and he can't provide leadership in the home. He does it by fear that if anyone touches a wrong button, he'll lose his temper and fly off the handle. And everyone tiptoes around Dad because, oh, you don't want to make him lose his temper. Listen, that's horrible leadership.
Amen.
That's not right. And again, there's no temperance involved in that. I was counseling with a couple, and that's what she said. I mean, that's almost verbatim what she said. And so I said, well, let's just go in and push some buttons and see what it takes to make him lose his temper. It doesn't take much. And there in the counseling session, boy, again, I thought maybe I made a horrible strategic mistake about making him lose his temper. But listen, you can control your temper if you have temperance. And so notice here's the fourth building block here. We're coming up onto your faith, add virtue to virtue, add knowledge. Now we've got a little bit of knowledge built up. We get two blocks of knowledge. We're able to hold on top of that a little bit of self-control, a little bit of temperance, a little bit of fasting and prayer, a little bit of telling our body, no, we're not going to do that. A little bit of telling our passions, no, we are not going to do that. As a teen pastor for years, I've watched teenagers growing up without an ounce of discipline in their life. They've never been disciplined. They have no self-discipline. And boy, when the hormones kick in and their body says, I want this, this, and this, they've got no discipline. And they answer to their hormones. Because there's no mental discipline. There's no ability to control themselves. There's no self-control. They just do whatever their hormones say to do. And we end up in the plight that America is in.
We're looking for another Woodstock 2 down here. What do you suppose was going on at Woodstock 1 back in 1969? It was a rebellion against everything godly. And a declaration that, hey, we're going to do what we want to do. An absolute disregard of all temperance was right there. And unfortunately, it showed up in our independent fundamental KJV Bible-thumping churches. That we've raised up a generation that have come up without a discipline in their life. They've never been told no, and they don't know how to tell themselves no. They've again, everything's a challenge against, and they end up with anger issues. They end up with all kinds of problems, and there's no temperance in their life. How are you going to fix that? Here's how you fix that. Number one, you add to your faith virtue. Number two, you add to your virtue knowledge. You just keep building. You keep building. And you don't just go all the top and say, we're going to build everything up here. No, you got to build all the way to the bottom and add to your faith. And you got to, again, work on what we believe and what is our basis for truth. And we build down there at that level before we can add temperance. And so notice again now we're adding temperance. The ability to control oneself. The ability to fast and pray. Second greatest example, again, of temperance is our ability to fast and pray. I think I mentioned our next door neighbors got control of their teenagers' appetites by putting a chain and a padlock on their refrigerator and their freezer and hiding the key from the kids. Well, I suppose they got an answer to the authority somewhere. They answered to the authority of a padlock. But again, it's better that we would again understand that, hey, we need to have some self-discipline. We need to have an ability to control ourselves. And the other thing I need to mold in here is that some place here, well, every place here, we don't do this on our own. Okay? When we're reading the Bible, we should ask the Lord to build our faith.
Amen.
It isn't something that we just do, okay, I'm going to set out and I'm going to build these walls, okay, and I'm going to start laying them brick. And listen, you need God on your side in every one of these things. You need to get to understand that God is the one that produces a growth in our life. God is the one that enables the changes in our life. And listen, if we're ever going to get any temperance, it's only because we call on God and say, God, I'm working on this temperance thing and I need some help from you. And so again, as we're building this wall, as we're building our lives up, let's again be careful to understand that you've got to be involved. You've got to be tearing into it. Give all diligence. Where's your diligence in here? We've got to have diligence to be builders. But notice also that, hey, we are totally reliant on God. Through Christ, I can do all things. And again, that verse is not talking about our ability to deal with things or do things. It's, again, our being satisfied with where we're at in our life. And so, again, as we look at this done by the power of God, include it. Oh, I didn't get back to 2 Peter here. Include it in our lives. And notice, again, that in his beginning here, and besides this, I was curious about that. I don't know what that means. And besides this, it's kind of like on another note. Oh, incidentally, by the way, let me look at this too. And besides this, and so the other things that are listed there, this is beside this. The other things, again, is our salvation, our being a glory to God, the great and precious promises. And then it says, and besides this, notice as it says, and besides this, giving half your diligence. No. Giving all diligence. When I was in the military, we met diligent soldiers. And again, diligence all by itself is a dangerous thing, again. And so we got to know what bolt we're hooked onto here if we're going to be a nut in this world. And so notice again that we need to put some diligence to this building process right here. And be about the Father's business in our own lives. There's things that you could do this week, even starting this week. There's things that you could do to start building these things in your life. And right here, 66 books, that's a good start again. Just reading the Bible. And I don't care if you don't understand. Listen, I've been reading the Bible ever since 1960. I've read it through probably every year for at least 40 years. And boy, I still find stuff in there. I said, man, I don't understand that. Beverly and I read it together in the morning. She says, what does this mean? And I say, I don't say this to y'all, but I say it to her. I don't have a clue what that means, okay? I couldn't even tell you where it's going with that idea again. So there's things in this book that, hey, we'll probably never understand till we see him face to face. But just reading them helps us to understand how ignorant I am. Just reading them helps me again. Like I said, I picked up my Greek book and started reading my Greek and my Hebrew. You know what that does to you? If you could go back to first grade, do you suppose you'd learn anything about going back to first grade and redoing it? Listen, you pick up a foreign language, you go, especially Greek or Hebrew, and you go back to first grade. You go back to a first grade reading level. That's where, again, you try and pronounce each word and you try to remember what the letters sound like. Listen, it's good for us to go back to the basics again here and the basis and to understand that, hey, we're nothing. And again, to start there in our building process to understand that, hey, there's things that I'll not understand, but this is a precious old book anyway. And there's things that you glean out of it. As I've read through my Bible, now I'm reading it through twice a year, every year. And right now I'm reading through Corinthians. And what a tremendous thing. And boy, I'm seeing things in there that I've never seen before. I'm seeing things about the gifts that God gives to the church that I've never seen before. And there's things in God's... And I've heard it preached 100 times. But it's not like reading it for myself. And so read God's Word. Sure, listen to all the messages by James Knox. But read God's Word. And get it grounded in your life. It's good for us. It causes us to grow. And then when we begin with these building blocks and say, hey, I need to add some temperance in my life. Listen, I didn't have to preach this message very long, but God showed me a couple places where I need to add temperance into my life. I didn't have to build this message up too far before God says, hey, you need to increase your faith. There's some things that you need to work on your belief. There's some things, again, where you've got some virtue, some strengths missing in your life, and you need to get some strength in that area of your life. Listen, it's a continual process of growing and growing and building and building. And we've gotten all the way up now to where we're looking at temperance. And again, temperance is going to come from some of the trials that you run into in life. Some of the refrigerators that we run into in life. Some of the things again, and again, as we look at that, our society is built on drug abuse. You look at they're trying to legalize everything. I watched a spot where they're trying to legalize crazy mushrooms now, so because it makes you, it's got therapeutic value. It makes you forget everything that's going on in life. Wow, that's therapeutic value. Listen, again, it's talking to a society that has no self-discipline, no temperance, no self-control. If anything gets them on a high and makes them feel good, that's what they want at all costs. It doesn't matter anything else. Understand here that, hey, temperance is an important thing in our life, and it's missing. And it's certainly missing in our society, but listen, it's missing in Christianity too. I heard again this week that America is not so much turning its back on Christianity as it is turning its back on the hypocrisy of Christianity. And it's because there's not very many Christians who are Christians, who are living for Christ, who are acting and reacting to Christ, who have built up their life to a place where they've reached to a place where all of a sudden the compassions of Christ comes and people can see the charity in their life. So that's where we're going as we're building this wall and looking at it. Boy, I encourage you again to find a place this week where you could add to your faith virtue. First off, add to your faith. Start believing some of the things. Secondly, add to your faith virtue. And add to virtue knowledge. Start growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Start growing in the knowledge of the will of God, as it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Start growing again in the knowledge of God's Word and build upon that. And then, let me throw in memorizing a few scriptures is good right there too. A good way to build that knowledge is to memorize scripture. Have them in your heart. And then, this week again, let's start adding a new block. Let's add a little temperance. Let's see if there isn't something in your life that you could do without for the glory of God. Something again that's hindering your growth, a weight that needs to be set aside because it's besetting you. And again, there's some things in our lives that we need to just practice some temperance and get spiritual self-control. And so I trust, again, that these things will help you. As we look at these building blocks, again, I just want to emphasize that I know it's a simple lesson, but praise the Lord, it'll help us. And if we take and start building in that simple way, every week, just adding a little bit more, adding a little bit more. And notice what the promise was given here. Ooh, I love this. It says, but if these things be in you. Seven things listed here. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you for your word. Help us again, Father, to grow. We think of all that we've walked through even in this past week. The hurt and the heartache and the circumstances and the situations that have come up. And ask, Father, again that even in this week you'd help us to add a little temperance into our life. That we could have a strength in you and a virtue again that would support and a knowledge that would support our temperance. Father, help us again to be in control of our spirit that we may let your spirit rule and reign in our lives. We'll give you the praise in the name of Christ. We pray it. Amen, amen. Let's go ahead and sing in our hymn book an invitation. Let's go ahead and sing that. Just as I am without one plea. This was not a salvation message, but listen, you won't get started building until you get that salvation in your heart. Anyone got a number for that?
562.
562, just as I am. And let's stand. Sing a couple verses of that. And as we sing today, if you're here, that's how you come to Christ. That's how you receive that salvation. That's how you got converted, justified, quickened, indwelt, and baptized into Christ. That's how those things happen. They don't happen until you come just as you are. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've not done that, you can do that even as we sing this song. But notice again that when we're looking at growth, it comes the same way. We got to come to Him just as we are and start at that point. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.